Welcome, everybody, to Drunk on Comics, episode 95. Now, I have something that I look into. I have in my office, and I see it every day. It's this wonderful poster that I don't think anyone else has ever read. And it speaks worldly to me, which says, incompetence. When you earnestly believe you can compensate for a lack of skill by doubling your efforts, there's no end to what you can't do. Which describes me to a T, especially on this show. I'm really bad at it, but yet you keep on inviting me back. And for that, I thank you.
Well, you keep doubling your efforts. Well, welcome, everybody.
Hey, thanks, man.
Yeah, this is Drunk on Comics. I'm Derek.
I'm sick.
Sick of what?
Sick of you guys.
Oh, dude. Oh, is this the beginning of the end?
This is the end. Play some really sad, slow Doors music now.
Yeah, just play the Bruce Banner walking away into the sunset.
That's actually one of my ringtones.
Are you serious? Yeah. For who?
Well, actually, it's just my random, like, voicemail ringtone. Yeah, I fucking loved that show when I was a kid. And I can't use it for actually a regular ringtone just because of the fact that
it's too quiet.
It's so damn quiet. You know, and it's,
well, it should be quiet. I mean,
yeah, it's, but yeah, no, listen. I love that.
Dude, that's... We need that in the... one of the books I'm going to be reviewing, that needs to be playing in the background the entire time. Oh my god, that's so perfect. Anyway, man, we should probably just jump right into it.
Yeah.
With our opening segment we call...
Off the
help
Shelf.
Me out, help me out. Thanks.
Off the Shelf.
Yeah. Honestly, I always want to say that our first segment is our last segment, whatever that's called.
Last call?
Yeah, thank you.
That's why it's the last segment.
Damn terrible at this.
All right, so this is first call. And
Kevin, I think we're going to have you introduce every segment on the show today. So
just
you get your wish.
Kevin, you get to do a review of what the segments are. Yeah.
All right. What's going on for first call then?
Well, before we get into it, Off the Shelf is brought to you once again by Motor City Comic Con. You can check them out online at MotorCityComicCon.com, happening May 16th through the 18th in Novi, Michigan, at the Suburban Collection Showplace. And yeah, we're going to be there. And they've been announcing a few more guests, a lot of great comic guests, a lot of great media guests as well. So. Check them out, www.motorcitycomiccon.com.
There's more than just Charles Soule there?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And once I heard that announcement, I just assumed that that was the end of the list.
Mark Waid, Chris Claremont, Jerry Conway. There's a few other amazing writers right there for you. So a lot of really great artists as well. Well, you remember Art Baltazar was going to be there.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah.
So yeah, go check them out. We will be there, live podcast, live panels. So, all right.
Excellent. Who's kicking this thing off?
Shit, I'll give it a shot.
Go for it.
All right. This week I've got All New Ghost Rider, number one. And
I'm going to jump right out because you're showing it to everybody here. What do you think of that cover?
Loved it.
I almost picked it up because of the cover. It's just different. It is so different.
Trad Moore has such a unique style. Like, he breaks a lot of rules with his art style. And obviously he's doing pencils and is he doing inks on here as well? Pencils and inks on here. Colors were done by Nelson Daniel and Val Staples, and this was written by Felipe Smith. And I picked it up, honestly. I don't care for the Ghost Rider character. Never really have. Just wasn't an interesting character to me. But
Trad... It was interesting when he rode a motorcycle.
made of
now
flames.
He's a ghost driver.
It's not the same character.
I know it's not the same character, but if you're going to have a ghost rider, he should be riding a bicycle or something, or a unicycle. Riding something, not driving something.
Oh, so what you're saying is the original ghost rider should have been in a sidecar on the motorcycle because he had to ride on it. He couldn't be driving a motorcycle.
No, you ride a motorcycle. It's like you ride a bike. You don't drive a bike. You ride a bike.
Well, no. That's
you don't ride. You don't ride a car. You drive a car.
You can ride in a car.
You could ride in a car. So he just shits shotgun?
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. Like
so later in the series, they're going to introduce Ghost Rider's companion, Stereotype Boy. I don't know.
It will be drawn exactly like Tony. If you don't do it this way, fuck you. I'm out. But, yeah. Yeah, Tread, I'm gonna start on the art on this. Treadmore has almost this cartoonish sense of his work, where things are very, very animated. Some of the panels in particular of the young kid in here are very, very cartoonish, almost Disney-inspired. You all right there, Tony?
Yep.
You losing your shit today? So, but it's a lot of fun with it, and I don't know how somebody can get away with drawing a superhero, or at least a Marvel mainstream comic, with that type of style, how he manages to get away with it, but it works so freaking well. There are some race scenes in here, which I'll kind of hand you guys. You start there and just kind of flip through a couple pages. You'll see where his panel layouts, how he's able to convey action so well in a car chase is really, really impressive. Because, I mean, well, it's actually a race in this one. It's very Fast and the Furious kind of setup, but just does really well. Now, to kind of go back and talk on what Felipe Smith did as far as with the story, you've got this young character who is trying to save up money. He's got, I don't know if it was a young younger brother or what it was, but he's got this young boy who's in a wheelchair and he's handicapped and he is taking care of him and he's trying to make enough money to get out of this really bad neighborhood. You know, it's like there's gunshots going on and there's actually kind of a really nice little thing where he's trying to protect this young disabled boy. Where there's gunshots going on, and the little boy says, "Oh, are there firecrackers again?" He goes, "Yep, it's firecrackers, and you know the rule. We don't go outside when we hear the firecrackers." And it's, you know, it's this, he knows what the real world's like, but he doesn't want this little boy to actually have to deal with the harsh realities. End of this issue, and here's my spoiler warning. He gets gunned down. The main character, Reyes, and I can't remember his first name off the top of my head. I want to say it's Ricky, but he gets gunned down, and he is imbued with the spirit of the Ghost Rider on that. Now, this is a different, from what I understand, this is not only a different character, so the Ghost Driver, if you will, not only a different character, but also a different spirit. From the one that originally went into Johnny Blaze and then whatever that secondary female character was that was Ghost Rider for a while. This is a completely different spirit that possesses...
Do they say the spirit's name?
No. It ends with him turning into the Ghost Rider. And it looks like it wasn't even like he made a deal with the devil kind of thing. It looks like this spirit just... Your body's dead and I'm into it. So it's really, really beautiful work. I didn't expect to like it, but I wanted to see what Trad Moore was doing on this. And the colors are great. I mean, they really do add, especially when you get into those race scenes and when you get into him being possessed by the Ghost Rider at the end. Boy, is that it's just a really, really pretty book.
Yeah. So I guess this probably explain why he was chosen. I mean, it just seems like it's random.
It doesn't explain in this issue.
And honestly, I don't know much about Ghost Rider at all.
He's Nick Cage.
Besides,
Yeah, it. You know, I only knew a little bit about Ghost Rider previously, and I just was never interested. Tony, I know you hate the idea of a car, and that seems to be like probably the only thing that people are bitching about. But to me, this is that car is perfect, man. I mean, it's.
Did they explain what kind of car it is? It almost looks like a 72 Challenger or something.
Yeah, and actually, I was kind of looking to see. They don't. It's a nondescript.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because they don't want to make it look exactly like any one thing. Otherwise, you might have to pay royalties. I'm guessing. Like, I mean, I think that's
sure. That's honest. I never thought about that.
So
no, but hey, it's all new Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
This
is different. So because you can create a new character means you can create a new definition of rider.
Okay.
So suck it up and deal with it.
All right. I just can't wait till Johnny Blaze comes in being like, who the hell are you?
Is Johnny Blaze, is his character dead?
No, him as a person is still alive. Superior Spider-Man talked to him one time. Remember that?
No.
When he was going after Ghost Peter or something?
No.
Yeah. Well, no, it happened.
That never happened. Speaking of, Tony, did you read Superior this week?
Are you reviewing it? Because if you aren't, then you don't get to talk about it.
No, I'm not reviewing it. I'm just curious. Did you read it?
I'm going to lie and say no so that you will stop talking.
Yeah, eventually somebody's going to have to pony up $20. What are you reviewing, Tone?
Silver Surfer number one. Actually, and I got another book that I do want to kind of get on touch. But Silver Surfer from Dan Slott and Mike Allred. Gonna say, first thing, I was not as pulled in as I would for Silver Surfer. I love Silver Surfer. Looking forward to them coming out with another book. I'm like, sweet. Half of it with Silver Surfer was awesome. Half of it with this human sisters, I was kind of like, where's the tie-in? What is this? What's going on? The funny thing with these two little girls, too, they seem to never change their clothes. Because as a kid, one of them looks like a ladybug. And then as an adult, which I'll show you in a sec, she's wearing the same fucking dress. So I don't, that's a mystery that I want to have solved within the confines of this book series.
Is it possible that the dress is kind of like her superhero outfit and it grows with her?
Yes. It's made out of the same material as Mr. Fantastic's. No,
I'm just that stretches. All of a sudden, I just had a really disgusting thought that the outfit was actually made out of Mr. Fantastic. When he says, "I want to be on you," it's a totally different meaning.
A lot of this, I really enjoyed the thing between the sisters, where the one sister just wants to be at home, stay in her little part of the world, and the other sister's out traveling. It's like the world is meant to explore. Let's go out and do that. So as you're kind of seeing this, Silver Surfer is no longer the Herald of Galactus again. I mean, he goes back and forth from that job. And he goes to this resort, which he's kind of confused how it's been never known to him. And the owner, guest manager guy there was, well, you know, we don't want a Herald of Galactus knowing where this, you know, utopia world is, because you'll pretty much bring Galactus with you. Now, as far as the story goes, I'm confused on how they're having this human girl and Silver Surfer, besides them talking about the perfect world, the perfect place in them. This guy who is asking Silver Surfer to help them with some crisis says, well, we have leverage with you. And they kidnap the ladybug girl to come here. And I'm like, oh, so there's a connection. Maybe it's someone that, you know, Silver Surfer has, you know, talked to before on Earth. And pretty much she goes, okay, I have absolutely no idea who that is. And then the title of this is The Most Important Person in the Universe. That right there, and that was the last page, makes me say, what the fuck? I need to know more. I need to know this connection between this Earth girl that just wants to stay home and Silver Surfer who is surfing amongst the stars. I find it intriguing enough that I want to keep reading.
That's cool. I'm interested because I know that this is a little almost blasphemous, honestly. I personally, while I totally respect Mike Allred's art, I'm not a fan of that style. It's just a personal choice. How did it work for the story?
It actually worked all right. With the Empiricon, this city that Zerfer went to, it worked all right. Very colorful, very artsy.
It's definitely a contrast to... Now, I'm not very familiar with Silver Surfer, but I don't know. It seemed very... I always think of him rigid, shiny, and this is more like curvaceous, cartoony. Mm-hmm. It's just definitely a departure from what I'm used to. Now, granted, I don't read a whole lot of Silver Surfer, so he just has a whole new look to him in this book. And
yeah,
I don't know. There can be advantages to that, I guess.
The other book that I need to just briefly talk on because it was fucking hilarious within it is New Avengers, I guess you can say number one, 16 Point Now, by Jonathan Hickman, art by Rags Morales. This book is probably the book that anyone should be reading within the Marvel scope. It involves the Illuminati, who talked about multiple times before, and they are the big thinkers behind most of the events that go on. Now, almost every single day, the Earth is almost completely destroyed. And that, not saying within an event of some hero fights some villain in New York and they could destroy the world. No, this is literally worlds are still colliding within the storyline. And these seven men are the ones that are preventing those from happening behind the scenes. So whereas Spider-Man fighting Goblin or whatever, these guys are going to bat and trying to fix, you know, save the world every single day. With that being said, there are other worlds, which is the multiverse of Marvel. And within the multiverse of Marvel, you get unique characters, different people in different places. And they built this Reed Richards machine to kind of try to prevent these incursions from happening. They want to kind of know where did they start from or what's going on or how are other heroes fixing that.
Is that what it's called, the Reed Richards machine?
Yes.
and can the Reed Richards machine be on you?
Yes, you can wear it. No, it's like a portal. Blatantly, I love what they just did here. Half this book is talking about the 616 Marvel Universe. The other half is talking about this other world and what these superheroes have done. This great society. They're the archetypes of justice. There is a sun god. There is a person named Wayne who dresses as a knight. Where are their names? There is a person that pretty much looks just like a Chick Flash. And when they're talking about who they are, there's Dr. Spectrum, Boundless, Sun God, the Norn, who looks like Mr. Fate, the Jovian, who pretty much Martian Manhunter.
Does the Sun God look like Superman?
Kind of. I mean, he's got an emblem on his chest. Not super looks like him. You're getting the picture, though. Marvel is pretty much saying there's this world that has these characters that... Whatever. That's the biggest point I just wanted to say. They live in a tower. They named it something else, but then they said the tower later, just like DC does. And I love that the Wayne guy that dresses up as a knight, his name is The Rider. So he's got a double pun. He looks like a knight rider.
That's another one of my ringtones. And I only have three like nerd ringtones.
And that's just got those three.
Well, no, I've got
that I'm mentioning.
I've got Knight Rider, I've got the sad walking away music from the Incredible Hulk, and then I have the X-Men animated show.
So yeah, I just needed to mention that it was hilarious that Marvel went in that direction instead of another world that has a different Reed Richards or a different, you know, Professor X. They kind of just said, hey, we're going to create our own characters that are pretty much based off of DC's characters, and they could be that world's heroes.
Do they go and fight them?
No, they haven't fought them. They're watching what they are doing with the Earths coming in and how they're saving their own world as well. So that was kind of the point of that, but I just thought it was really pretty sweet.
And which Avengers title is this again?
The New Avengers.
Is the all new Marvel Now New Avengers?
No, it just is. It's just the new Avengers. Just
regular old new Avengers.
Yeah. The old Avengers.
I'm looking forward to the recycled Avengers.
It's coming out. Number one.
What do you got?
So here at Drunken Comics, we advise our listeners of what's hot and what's lukewarm, good, bad, whatever. Now, one of the things we do in our off-the-shelf segment, if you haven't figured out already, is we tell our listeners what are good jumping on points to stories.
We try.
Yeah, and we've done that so far. We've had a handful of number ones. I just read this morning there was a panel at the Emerald City Comic Con that Marvel was defending, because there are some people who do not like all the number ones, but they were defending the number ones, saying these are good jumping on points. And for the most part, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, just because you want more jumping on points doesn't necessarily mean you need a number one. Case in point, I'm going to give you. I actually got a couple books that I want to. I'm going to give you a quick lightning review on. Book one, Aquaman 29.
I wouldn't think that Aquaman and lightning would go together.
Maybe. Maybe. Now,
I didn't know Aquaman and a good review would go together.
Oh, come on.
See, in my notes here, it says I have to wait for applause to be over.
So if we were to just continue going, you wouldn't be able to get back to your review?
Yeah, maybe. So this issue of Aquaman is written by Jeff Parker, pencils by Paul Pelletier.
Mm-hmm.
Inks by Sean Parsons and Norm Rapmund. So in Aquaman 29, we have Aquaman and Mera. They're fresh off of his high school reunion party, which I mentioned last month on our last call segment.
Yeah.
Anyways, they return to their little bungalow and they discover that his trident is missing.
Dun, dun, dun.
And shortly after that discovery, all hell starts to break loose. And when I say hell's breaking loose, I mean, literally, it's quite like that. First way I'm going to break down this book is to say that the colors in this book are stunning. Mostly I'm aiming those comments to the hell itself that's unleashed onto Earth. Now, there's not in this sequence. Here, I'll pass this book around for y'all to take a look. When they get to the moments where hell's released on Earth, yeah, we'll go with that. it's exactly what I would think it would be. Come on.
Well, no, I'm just curious. Is Tony doing your review now with the made up words? That's his gig, man. Don't steal his thing.
You're still not letting me down for saying woodsmith.
That'll never go away. I'm sorry. Okay, so hell's been released. Okay.
Yeah, so we got reaching on Ursh, and lots of oranges and reds and browns. It's well done. The art from all the characters in this unusual place, all the characters that are drawn from this hell are just top notch. I think that it's creatively drawn. Outside the box. I think it really deserves a tip of the cap. Now, one of the things I really like about Aquaman in a whole is that they really give good details about an event that happened during Earth's history. They do it concisely and with extreme clarity. And there's no exception with this issue. Well, when this hell was opened up, and of course, hell was opened up, and shit, there's a lot going on.
Yeah, it's hell.
So, I mean, you have people who've been stuck in this place for millennia, but yet you want to know what's going on, and they wrap it up quickly. You know what's going on. There's a little bit of sense of mystery that you want to keep on reading this and be drawn in more to this world. But they do it concisely, and they leave plenty of room for action, and lots of action in this book. Now, this book concludes with a surprising introduction to a character that honestly I thought was already part of the DC universe. Now, I'm not going to spoil who that was, just in case you're actually interested in reading this book and want that. I know this character's in the Marvel universe, and probably that's where I got stuck on. I'm like,
okay. I'm very confused on. Are you talking about like Mephisto or something like that?
No. It's
just spoil it so we can have this conversation.
Spoiler warning. One, two. It's Hercules.
Oh, okay.
I thought Hercules was already in the DC universe, but apparently, this definitively says no to that. And with his introduction into this, unless they put him back into Earth, I think this could actually have some long-term ramifications for the entire Earth. So, again, Aquaman 29, excellent jumping on point. There's so much good stuff going on in this book.
You know, actually, Kevin, what's really cool, as we wrap up Off the Shelf, which is brought to you by Motor City Comic Con.
Oh no, man! I got a bonus.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Lightning. Yeah. Wait, before you do though, Paul Pelletier, or Pelletier, we'll actually find out exactly how to say his name because he's going to be at Motor City,
and then we'll forget again.
No, we won't. Not when we meet, because he's going to be at Motor City. So
yeah, at the Suburban Collection Showplace.
Yeah. So I'm actually excited.
Showdown.
Yeah, the showcase showdown.
Kevin, I want you to tell me what you know about Aquaman and the others, because I laughed so hard at seeing this
preview,
A League of His Own, and I'm looking at these characters. Who the fuck are they?
I honestly don't know. They just started putting ads in DC titles for Aquaman and the others, and honestly, I don't really know much about these characters.
They're the others. They're not Aquaman.
They come from Lost Island.
Alright. So I'm already running a little short on time, so I'm going to jump right into Survive. Survive by Marvel.
I'm also
another number one.
I'm surprised you picked it up.
Honestly, I saw this on the shelf. I saw it was the number one. I saw Bendis. Brian Michael Bendis, who wrote this, and Mohawk Storm. Now, normally I wouldn't pick something up because of Mohawk Storm, but I just be like, I'll try it, see what happens. And wow, it was an excellent payoff. Art and colors by Joe Quinones,
mm-hmm.
Colors by Rainier Barreto.
Okay,
so
I'm not familiar with the colorist on this one, actually, which is
so now you, Derek, you've sort of heard about this. Tony, did you hear about this book at all?
Yeah, I looked at it.
Okay,
well, because now I went into my shop and I had not heard of the book before, and I picked it up and I asked one guy, I'm like, hey, what's this? And he goes, it's like the whole Cataclysm thing. And I went, oh, and I literally put it back down.
Yeah. I may have read something about this in monthly solicitations a while back, but I probably forgot about it. But definitely, as you said, it's part of the Ultimate Cataclysm story arc, which was basically my introduction to the Ultimates universe. Now, the quick and dirty, and here's a spoiler warning, so jump ahead 30 seconds, someone dies in Cataclysm. And that person is Captain America. So that's what this whole issue is basically a giant eulogy for Captain America, President Captain America, which was, I didn't know that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I didn't either pick it up or I didn't know when I was reading the Cataclysm main story. I didn't read the side stories. Oh yeah, Thor died too, but I'm sure they'll give him props later on or something, but but seriously, it was all a big deal about Captain America dying, and Thor died. But during this issue, there are springs of what's happening in a world that just has to deal with the aftermath of Galactus, such as lawsuits, what the world has to do with the gadgetry he erected while he was trying to devour Earth. Like, what do you do with all this shit? And how do you rebuild, like, New Jersey, which was completely and utterly destroyed?
Who wants to rebuild New Jersey?
Dude, it's on the shore. Prime real estate. Didn't Lex Luthor from Superman movies ever teach you anything?
True, but I mean, as long as Snooki and all of them are gone, who cares?
Snooki?
Yeah. Is that her name?
Snooki?
Oh.
It's not Snooki. That's like Schnikes. Hey, where's Schnikes?
The writing in Surviving is Surviving. Yeah, see, I'm just getting the title mixed up. It's just amazing. The speech is given within... And there are actually a few different ones are so eloquently worded, unlike my reviews. These types of dialogues are the things that I wish I could compose during important events in my life, whether it's work or personal. So, yes, I am jealous of a comic book.
Speaking of the writing, I'm curious if you didn't know that this was the Ultimate Universe, is it... Does Bendis clearly lay it out for you that this is the Ultimate Universe?
Well, the first line on this says, previously, an ultimate cataclysm.
If you took away the opening page where they summarize, probably, no, you wouldn't.
Okay.
You wouldn't, because there's lots of questions. Well, I'd say the few question marks that would come up would be, okay, why is Steve Rogers president? Why is Mr. Fantastic and Sue Storm on the outs? Why does Spider-Man look all weird? Why has he got a black costume instead of a red one? So no, I don't. But it's interesting enough that it would bring you in. There's no action, just excellent dialogue and a great setup. So for me, I'm going to stick around this universe and see what happens. A new reader, I hope it's the case. I think this is an excellent jumping on point because you have essentially a new Earth, and of course anything can happen. So those are my two jumping on points for the week.
Cool. All right.
All right, man. Well, that was heavy hitting. Whatever that segment's called.
That was
news,
like,
and
that was full on
intros.
That was full on thunderstorm for lightning rounds.
were you thunderstruck by my review?
Thunder.
Kevin, what's our next segment?
Notes and news. is that what we're doing next? Talk about industry news and
news
collecting
and
comics.
News and nuggets. Because Tony loves him some nuggets. You got any
bites?
Got any haunted nuggets, Tony?
No.
No? Okay. All right. Well, here's kind of one thing that popped up on my radar that I thought was pretty cool, is that Caliber Comics is being brought back to life.
Didn't we talk about this in another segment?
No, you keep, like, you're stuck in a time loop, dude. Yeah. Now, Caliber Comics is being brought back, which, for me and I think most people in general, they're primarily known for actually being the very first publisher of The Crow. And so, me being a big fan of that original series, I'm actually kind of excited to see what's happening there. And I'm curious as to if they're going to reacquire the rights for The Crow, or if it will stay at IDW.
Who? IDW has it right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. They're just launching. They probably don't have any capital to start acquiring anything.
Well, yeah, I just don't know. But yeah, it's Gary Reed, you know, who wrote Dead World. You know, we've had plenty of chances to chat with him over a while, but yeah, he was actually one of the people that was originally involved in Caliber, and he's bringing it back. So it's just kind of a neat thing. It's a, you know, Detroit-based publishing company, has been. So kind of curious to see what they're going to be coming out with here. So there's that one. What else did you guys see that was out there this week?
I guess, I don't know, I don't want to bring up that anymore. I still have the tab open of the trailer, Days of Futures Past, but...
Oh, man, why are you hating?
The trailer looked great. I hate the many amount of people that keep throwing in it. But that trailer came out.
Why do you hate it?
I don't hate it. I'm going to see it.
No, you just said you hate the many amount of people, which I don't understand.
I don't like the trailer.
Yeah. Well, no, this trailer was different. This trailer was okay. But, okay, when you should have a story and it should come naturally, not, oh, I'm going to throw this character in for name recognition, or I'm just going to, because that's what it seems like the news for this movie has revolved around every other weekend. And they know that because they say, oh, we're putting Storm in this movie with the Halle Berry Storm. People start talking about it. Oh, we're cutting that scene.
Did you ever read the original Uncanny X-Men 141 and 142, the actual original Days of Future Past storyline?
Yeah.
Okay. Storm's in it.
And we know that they're going to have characters in it, but when they say they're going to be in and then they're not going to be in and this and that, when did they start this movie filming? A long time ago. Would you not have had your cast already set? If you're doing last minute, oh, and now we're going to sneak this character in a scene.
Well, sometimes it makes sense.
Well, maybe these characters were already in the movie, and then now it's just being leaked out.
Yeah,
that could be too. Well, it'd be great if Ninja Turtles actually had Ninja Turtles in it, but now they have alien penis head looking things. Have you seen that trailer?
Yeah. So they look like melted chocolate chips. Whatever.
They kind of look like green poops.
Yeah, with masks.
Yeah.
I mean, they are like 8 feet tall. The turtles were never that huge. That the ooze was made.
Is that why you're so angry? Because the size ratio is wrong?
No, multiple things, if you'd let me finish. Shredder worked with April O'Neil's dad to make the ooze. It looks like they were purposely made to fight the war on crime, not accidentally ooze going down the sewer to make them. Had not seen Splinter yet in this preview. And Shredder is a fucking white American, not a Asian ninja.
Why you gotta be racist?
Because race is part of the whole thing. At least
say it's some sort of.
Wow. Okay.
No, man. I thought you were gonna have some like a legitimate beast with a movie. Like, why are they all wearing wicker chairs on their chest plates?
Like, are you mad that like? Okay, wait a second. No. I actually have a problem that you have a problem that Shredder is a white American.
Named Colonel Shredder. That's
awesome.
That he wants to help save the city. Not that he has Ninja Foot Clan and wants to take over it. Like, is that what the Shredder that you know growing up?
No, I never knew him personally. I was familiar with him. But, you know, here's the thing, Tony, and this is what I hate to break to you.
Michael Bay sucks, I know that.
No, Hollywood is going to fuck up your childhood every time they do something with one of your properties. Every time.
Well, I know, Battleship, man, I had high hopes for that.
I don't know about fucking it up, they're just trying to make it unique, and it's attempting to try to make it its own.
Or they're trying to make it so that it will work better as a film rather than a cartoon or a comic book.
I mean, I'll see it if it's a cool action movie.
I mean,
but I don't need them screaming pizza time.
Pizza time.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, let's compare just for a minute Days of Futures Past. It's Kitty Pryde that goes back in time in the comic, but because they've already screwed up the timeline where Kitty Pryde isn't even born at this point, she can't. So they have to now send Wolverine back. Magneto wasn't part of that storyline helping to send people back. Xavier's already dead in the future in the comic book. But you know what? I'm not going to cry about it because they changed something in one of my all-time favorite story arcs. Hey, cool. They're fucking around and they're doing stuff.
But they didn't change the characters. Professor X is still Professor X. Magneto is still Magneto. Wolverine is still Hugh Jackman. I mean,
you still have Shredder.
Wolverine is Hugh Jackman.
It's just that it happens the guy's name is Shredder.
That's a huge change from the norm. And that, I think, And that he knew April O'Neil, that she wasn't just a random reporter that...
I didn't see April O'Neil once in a yellow jumpsuit. I'm angry.
No, she has a yellow jacket, though.
Oh.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah, so...
Who's April O'Neil?
Megan Fox. Yeah, she's worth looking at. So... All right, so Tony, are you done being upset and crying a little bit?
Yeah, I'll still watch the movie anyways, but...
I know you will.
When's it coming out?
Shit, I don't even know.
It's this summer, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, maybe. Speaking of things, movies, since we're on that topic, Kevin, Joss Whedon, you apologized to Seoul, Korea?
Yeah, he has been going around the country, the world, filming... Avengers 2, and of course with a big, huge Avengers movie, you're going to have explosions, you're going to have destruction, and that's what he's doing. He's going around to various countries. I think he was in South Africa, Italy, and now in South Korea, where they're blowing up shit and making things dirty there. He felt, and I don't understand the purpose of it, maybe it was explained and I just chose not to read it, but he's basically apologizing for the destruction he's creating in South Korea. It's interesting. It's only 45 seconds long. He's fortunately it's him speaking and with Korean subtitles, but it's kind of cute, unnecessary, but interesting to check out. Joss Whedon. I think you just look up. Just like Joss Whedon apology or something.
I think the link that you shared was from slashfilm.com.
Okay.
So people can check that out as well. Hey, you guys like birthdays, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay.
Batman's fucking 75.
I'm cool with his birthday.
Yeah. So he's getting a big old birthday bash from Warner Brothers in DC. So.
Yeah, what I thought was most interesting is see, they have all the listings of all the things that are going to be happening in the Batman world. The comic thing happening, the new show on Fox called Gotham, but no movie. What's going on?
Well, yeah, the article in particular that we're talking about came right from Variety, and... It's funny because they're publishing new Batman books. They're hosting Batman Day. The 1960s TV show is available on, quote, home video.
Which VHS?
That's what I'm like, why are you saying home video? Your Variety, are you not up to date on what the fuck the terms are?
No, they're saying if you already have it at your home, you should put it in on this day because you have it probably on video.
But yeah, they do list all things. And then the one event, which I think is funny that they act like it was planned for part of the birthday, is that they're going to see Warner Brothers Pictures start production on Zack Snyder's still untitled film that will bring Batman and Superman together. That's not part of the birthday celebration. That's just fucking going on anyway.
Yeah.
I just thought, but yeah.
You mentioned the original Batman and whatnot, but Lorenzo Semple. I believe is his name. He did a lot of screenplays back in the day. 3 Days to Condor, Parallax View, 76 remake of King Kong, 1980s Flash Gordon. He also started the 66 Batman.
Oh,
he recently.
Oh, the Batman 66.
Yeah, he passed away just recently, so you brought that up. I was going to mention it, but you know what? If you mentioned that Batman series, I'm like, oh, it's Lorenzo Semple.
That's
passing. That was an interesting article on everything that he's written.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that, so I'm actually glad you kind of brought that up.
Okay, yeah.
All right, Kevin, I got something that I think you're going to be at least somewhat excited for.
Okay.
There's some new titles that were announced for Oni Press, one of which is The Sixth Gun, Days of the Dead.
And yeah, I saw that. That was surprising to see that come around. Bring it on. If you could bring more Sixth Gun out there, Do it.
Yeah, there were a number of titles that are announced. I mean, I'd say maybe 8 to 10, roughly.
The one I'm looking forward to is I was the Cat. I have no clue what the hell that's about, but it sounds kind of funny.
I was the Cat. That one is written by Paul Tobin and illustrated by Benjamin Dewey. And Paul Tobin, I've read some of his stuff before. I'm very, very curious about. Now, I don't really care for cats.
Oh, I hate cats too. But yeah. It's just kind of funny
now
if
I know
it's a story
why
about
we
a cat.
Don't record at my place.
That or it'd be an hour of me sneezing into the microphone. That could have something to do with it. No, and actually I know the other one that probably a bunch of us here are excited about, Brides of Helheim. So there's your follow-up to the Helheim miniseries that I know at least... Kevin, were you reading that one? I know that Tony, Matt, and I were.
I dropped off after a few issues.
A little too gory?
Yeah, it was gore was it, but I don't know. I just got to pick and choose. I can't pick up every single thing I want to.
Yeah.
But actually, out of all of it, there was actually the one that, because I like this kind of shit. It's called Ares and Aphrodite, mm-hmm. depending on your... It was just there's like a little love story. I don't know how... I don't think that story could be sustained for the long haul, but that's something new for, I think, early next year.
Yeah. Well, and Oni tends to do a lot of short, you know, miniseries type things, which I think is great. Because you put them out there, if they work, then you can do a follow-up or a prequel, like The Sixth Gun and like mm-hmm. Helheim. So. Yeah.
But I love rom-coms. They're kind of cool. So I think that ties in. So,
Real quick, I found this a little odd that Disney is now weaseling its way into the Marvel world with their original characters, where you have Dreamfinder and Figment, who are characters that were originally from Epcot Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember when they were first debuted. I was down there as a kid. That was a big deal. I got a picture with those guys. Pretty cool.
So I guess there's going to be an origin story coming in.
Why not? You have this property. You have a means of telling the story.
Seems a little forced to me, but anyway.
Than Seekers of the Weird.
Seekers of the Weird though was an original.
It's sort of
So you can't introduce this guy into those pages, or I mean, you take something that's there. I mean,
I just think it's forced.
Well, okay. Well, did you think the Pirates of the Caribbean movies were forced?
A little bit.
Monetarily paid off for them though.
Yeah. I'm still waiting to see the It's a Small World action film.
it's gonna be epic.
Yeah.
Epcotic.
Oh, wow. Tony, every Spider-Man ever. Did you see?
Yes. There was something that they had a teaser for it last week, and I forgot to mention it. And now they finally filled in the teaser and explained a little bit more of it. And holy shit. It's going to be a huge Spider event, which is one of the reasons why they are resurrecting the ghost of Peter Parker to come back into Spider-Man's body, because they knew that they needed to have Peter Parker be the driving force of this story. But if it wasn't that, they would have kept him dead.
I wonder if people that are just catching on, or like just starting to listen to us, that don't know that there's a bet where you said Peter Parker's a ghost, if they would just sit here and go... Those guys don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But no, it's. I think what's funny is that you've even got like Peter Porker, the Spectacular Spider Ham.
Oh, they've said that they are going to include in some way any single Spider-Man character that's ever been created in any sort of universe, one shot, what if, and even making up some other ones. Of course, one of the questions was if they'd get Spider-Boy from the amalgam universe between DC and Marvel back in the 90s.
Oh.
They said, yeah, probably not that one, because DC wouldn't release those rights. But if they did, that'd be kind of sweet, too.
That would be.
So besides him, every single one, this is going to be driven by Morlun, who was, I can't remember when he first came on, but he is one of the few people that have pretty much killed Spider-Man, because Spider-Man's been dead before, too, then gets resurrected like he just did recently. And he's going to be the driving force, but there's going to be an overall bigger story to this. There's going to be the main Amazing Spider-Man series, and I believe this is going to start the story arc in number 9 sometime in the fall. And then there's going to be a bunch of other Spider-Man titles coming out of this that will tie into it and keep on going. So it's one of the reasons why 2099 is here in the present as well. May we see another Superior Spider-Man? Who knows? But that'd be sweet too.
Yeah. Real quick note, fans of Gail Simone, writer, she is going to be making a return to Marvel with a short story in Deadpool and a single issue, basically one shot on Savage Wolverine. So, excuse me, it's going to be Deadpool number 27 and Savage Wolverine number 19. For anybody that's interested in that, just kind of neat to see that she's, you know, she's been doing stuff for DC for so long. Kind of neat to see that she's at least dipping her toes over on the Marvel side again. Speaking of DC, Tony, you've been reading the Forever Evil stuff.
Yep.
And did you see that Forever Evil, because of the Forever Evil storyline, it's pushing back
comics? Yeah, do you know who Pandora is?
Briefly, kind of.
Yeah, apparently the whole reason for it is because they wanted to develop her. My take was they wanted to develop her story a little bit better before they conclude the story. Like, okay, this character I've never really heard of until the Trinity War, which was this story arc leading up to Forever Evil. Whoever she is, so...
What I heard, and this is rumor, so I don't know how factual it is, but what I heard was is that they actually had to delay it because if they put out the individual character stories before the conclusion of the Forever Evil story, it will spoil the conclusion of the Forever Evil story.
Oh, well, okay, then that makes sense.
Yeah.
And if that's what the article said, then oops. Skimming doesn't work, I guess.
Yeah, well, no, like I heard that from other people. I didn't actually find an article.
But why push it back like a whole nother month? Why not just a week?
Well, what I don't understand is when you planned these out, why didn't you figure out your publication schedule?
Yeah.
they're just so anxious.
Yeah. That's pretty much everything I got from the news, I think, this week.
Quick mention, AMC is developing a late night series with Kevin Smith.
Yeah, they're at least in talks to do
stuff. Yeah, which, you know, I don't know, I haven't listened to a whole lot of Kevin Smith. Like, I remember years ago, I watched a few like, an evening with Kevin Smith. Those were fun and entertaining. My only questions that I have is, does he only wear a hockey jersey anymore?
You're talking to.
I don't watch the show, but every picture that I've ever seen of him,
he's wearing a hockey jersey. Yeah,
he's wearing a hockey jersey. I'm like, okay, that's your look, but it just struck me as funny.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think he hung up the trench coat and the hat. So,
props to him, and keep the good times rolling with that. And AMC also renewed Comic Book Men.
Yeah.
If you're into that show, you get a fourth season.
Cool. All right, I think that's going to wrap us up for News and Nuggets this week. Real quick, Best on Tap. Savage Wolverine number 16.
Yeah. I picked that up just because the cover. I judged the book.
Yeah.
And I won.
Richard, and I hope I'm pronouncing this right, Isonoff, did the cover on it, and it is just gorgeous. It's kind of Wolverine running almost through like a dust storm, and the shadow in the back is like this visage of his Wolverine, his blue and yellow costume from back in the day. So awesome, awesome cover. Go check that out. We'll post this up on our website along with this podcast for people to see.
Right on.
Kevin, what should we do next?
We should talk more comic books in a segment we call the What's Happening in Expressway.
Tony, what do you got for Indie Turnpike this week?
Well, first off, Indie Turnpike brought to you by Fanfare.
Fanfare Sports and Entertainment.
Yep. It is the best thing in any of the realms.
In the multiverse.
Of the multiverse.
Yeah.
Or even within dreams. Who knows? We could go there, I guess.
Dreams.
Anyways, I'm going to talk about Sandman Overture number 2, which has been delayed for at least, I think, 3-4 months. We talked about it briefly last week of the writing and the art and everything. The wait was well fucking worth it. Like, this is a gorgeous book inside and out. All the panel layouts, it just speaks to how those books of Sandman are. The pencils and everything were from J.H. Williams. Dave Stewart was colors, and of course Neil Gaiman created Sandman. After issue 1, which was very intriguing, them being many aspects of Dream, you are brought to this first page, which also I feel like it's an intended joke of, I apologize, I can't argue with time. And Lucian, his kind of butler guy, goes, well, it's been on your calendar for quite some time. I feel like that's almost a nod to, this should have came out a while ago, what the hell. Mm-hmm. But then they get over it. It's the new Dream, and for anyone that's not familiar with the story, can get lost, because there's a lot of philosophy, a lot of metaphysical things that happen when you look at stories within the Dream world, where you are in the real world going into an old hospital, but when you're also doing it while in a dream, things can be kind of fucked up, such as it looking like a live building, such as brains up in the attic and a heart within the second floor.
Oh, that's actually kind of a really cool idea.
It's just everything within the writing and the art of this book really has many different aspects that you could look at a page for hours and see small details. Even the chick who was saying, kept going on about this weird dream and aliens, and you see in the basement writing on the wall saying it was aliens. No, it wasn't. Like, oh, so great.
So is it kind of like arguing whether or not it's a ghost or he's still in the mind?
Kind of. I mean, in all realistic purposes, this is in the mind, but he can also transport you as well. I mean, there is no boundary for Dream. Which brings us to the point of the Endless, who, God, I'm going to forget all of them. Dream, Destruction, Destiny, Desire, Death. Fuck, and there's like 2 other ones, and I'm kind of upset that I forgot who they are. They are the Endless. They are the everything that will always be, no matter what. You'll always have Destruction. You'll always have Death. You'll always have Dreams. Desire, you always desire for something.
Despair?
Despair is one of them, too, yes.
These nuts?
Pretty sure that's not one of them. But when Neil Gaiman created the original Sandman, like, to get into who these characters are as a whole in this world that he created, very deep, very intellectually thinking, what happens is we finally get to a point where we're left off with the old Dream. Where this whole book is supposed to be kind of a prequel. I like, though, now that he's also mentioning what's going on in the present with the new Dream. Because old Dream died, new Dream is alive. I know you're getting confused on me just calling him Dream, but dreams are always there. The aspect of him before can die, but there will always be another aspect of him to take its place. Such as when he's meeting all of his many different forms, they're all saying, one of us is gone. We are all us, but we are you. Well, which one is the true us? I am. There's this massive, like, couple pages of dialogue of them just explaining who each of them are, but explaining the story, that just the writing and the words and the verbatims of these people is just beautifully done. And like I said, the layout makes you follow the flow of the page to know who's talking. Now,
that I got to mention, because, you know, I peeked through that. Those few pages right there where all the different versions of Dream are talking to each other, it's one of the most ingenious panel layouts for a story like that ever, because it's totally trippy that it literally flows from one panel to the next. If you look at it from a distance, it looks like it's all one picture, but each panel is a different aspect, and insanely good art in there. So
yeah, and there's another really good to show different aspects of him is when he goes into his ruby that he has on his chest there to talk to Glory, who is a new character that I've never heard of before. To Glory. And within the little facets of the jewel, you can see the different versions of Dream talking to the same creature. Because, as I said, each one of these is dreams of whatever. There's a dream god of cats. And so it manifests itself as a cat, which later on kind of goes on a journey with him and says, well, why are you going to do that? Well, I am the dream of cats. I do what I want, just like cats do all the time. Fuck them. Even their dreams are shitty.
Kevin's just sitting there going, boo. He makes his kitties.
Ultimately, this whole cannot explain how this needs to be picked up. This is Saga before Saga was even thought of, dreamed of, even.
How do you know? You still haven't read it yet.
I read a little bit of it, and I'm telling you what, this is great, and I ain't even going to spoil what happens in the end, but for knowing who these characters have been, the direction that Neil Gaiman's going in, he just needs to keep going with this property and not make this a mini-series. He needs to bring it out into the open.
So 70 years later,
yeah,
issue 20 will hit stands. All right, time for a little booze in a book. This week, I have Guardians of the Galaxy number 13, which I know, Tony, you're probably just more surprised the fact that I even picked that book up than anything else. Excuse me. From Marvel Comics, written by Brian Michael Bendis, art by Sarah Pacelli and David Marquez, colors by Justin Ponsor, and letters by VC's Corey Pettit. And I'm pairing this with a Shorts Soft Parade, which I'm pretty sure that I've used Shorts Soft Parade for
you definitely have mentioned Shorts Brewing in past segments.
Yeah, it's my favorite brewery out there. It's in Bel Air, Michigan, which is a northern Michigan area. And the reason that I'm pairing these two, now, Soft Parade, for people that know, it's basically, it's a fruit rye ale. And
it's amazing.
And it's 9% alcohol by volume. And I know that all three of us have drank excessive amounts of it before, and it will destroy you if you are not careful. The reason that I'm pairing it, though, is that Guardians of the Galaxy number 13, for a book that I don't normally read, it was very easily accessible for me to jump in here just knowing a little bit about what I do know. And Soft Parade's kind of that same thing. If you like beer, if you like things that are maybe a little bit sweeter, you know, you don't have to be like a beer snob to like a craft beer in this case. It's one of those that I think virtually everyone will like. The other thing is that I was blown away with how good Guardians was, as far as not just the story, but the overall artwork kind of gave you that nice, warm, fuzzy feel as far as like, holy shit, that's solid. You'll get the same stuff from Soft Parade. So, you know, go grab one. Drink it down and read Guardians of the Galaxy 13. That's it. There's nothing funny on it this week. It's actually a true pairing. So,
I just imagine doing anything after drinking it soft parade.
What? You played pinball, okay?
Yeah, I played okay. It's definitely not as good as if I were just a roll up and have a paps.
Yeah, well, but if you had three paps, it'd be the same as having one soft parade. So, last call.
No, Kevin's supposed to introduce it.
Kevin.
It's the last call. Yeah.
Okay.
You spoiled it for me.
What do you guys got?
I have Red Lantern 29 continues on with the Red Daughter of Krypton. Check it out.
Superior Spider-Man number 30. Tony, I'm going to spoil this for you since he said you haven't read it, but you're going to owe me $20 because Peter Parker's back and he did not get resurrected from being a ghost. So we'll discuss on, I think, the next issue.
Whatever.
You're so sad that you got to pay up on a bet. It's awesome. What else you got? Did you read anything else that was good, Tony?
Well, I got...
I have a lot of shit I still need to actually read. I picked up a lot of shit,
Real though. Heroes, number one.
I was curious if anybody was going to grab that.
I did, because number one.
Yeah, did you like it?
It is an interesting start to the story. I will pick up issue two to see where this goes. Actors who play superheroes... portal jump to a real world where they're it's Space Quest, basically. This is Space Quest. Remember the movie Tim Allen, Sigourney
Galaxy Quest. Galaxy Quest.
Galaxy Quest, thank you.
Yeah.
That's this in comic book form.
Okay.
Okay.
Is it funny like that movie was?
It's not funny.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
But it's a good read.
Speaking of funny things, Empowered had another special. You know, because they're all like one shots with Empowered that came out, and it's fun, and it's a little gross in some aspects. But
speaking of fun and gross, Empire of the Dead number 3 came out, and still a good take on zombies. I enjoy it.
Other zombies, Walking Dead 124.
Didn't that just
it's every other week right now?
Damn.
Yeah, it's every other week.
Good move.
Yeah, especially for some of those issues where absolutely nothing fucking happens. Sure. But this was a good one.
Did you pick up Krampus?
I didn't.
You didn't?
No, I didn't. Because
it looks like you have quite a haul.
Yeah, I mean, just the books that I read that were really good. The Serenity, Leaves on the Wind miniseries, number 3 of that came out. That was good. The Wake, number 7 of 10. Man, this is a good book. So much fun.
Hey, Disney Kingdoms, Seekers of the Weird.
Is that number 4?
This is number 3.
Okay.
And, yeah. Though I have it in my hand, I'm like, wait, was this week or last week?
That was like last week, or that's why I was like, is that number 4?
Well, I think I mentioned it last week.
Yeah.
Fucking, that's how good it is.
Last week call.
Did you read Origins?
No.
Oh my God! You are missing out on some good books. Wolverine Origin 2, number 4. That was a huge.
What just happened?
I think he just gave out a phone number.
Huge reveal in that. I'm not even gonna say it. But.
I've decided that like I didn't read. Well, actually, I started to read the original Origin book, and I went no. And I started to read this one, and I'm no. I personally am still just going to choose to believe that. Logan doesn't know where he came from, and he doesn't know his history, and he never will. And I'm fine with that. That's where I'm going. Hacktivist number 3 came out. Tony, did you get to read that one yet?
No, I haven't, but I will.
Yeah, that was awesome. And for anybody that's listening to us, if you didn't hear it, we did an interview here earlier in the week with Colin Kelly, Jackson Lansing, and Marcus Toe. So you can check that out online as well.
DC Universe versus Master Universe finally wrapped up, and the ending of this story was very abrupt. Like, this was definitely more of a Masters of the Universe tie-in and not really having anything to do with the DC world.
Is that over now? Is that the last
one? Yeah, this was the last one. However, one of the cooler parts of it is He-Man's mom is stuck in the DC Universe, so there may be some other crossovers later if because he's going to try to get her back to Eternia.
He-Mom?
Yes. They also kind of gave a shout out.
I'm looking at Kevin.
Well, speaking of the whole family and everything, one of the internal dialogue that he had was, don't want to tell mom about our sister, you know, her daughter that she doesn't even know about.
Princess Leia.
And it's talking about She-Ra coming out in the next He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, number 13. But it just really ended abruptly. Of course, Batman's like, I thought they'd never leave. But that's still good. I think the one book, though, that I'm mad that I didn't pick up the entire series to understand was this Revolutionary War Omega. This was the ending all of all those books tied together. Had I read the entire story, I would have gotten a little more out of this. However, there were some key points in this that were great, such as the drawings of this guy named Killpower, I think, and just the heads getting chopped off. Ah, I'm dead.
I'm thinking if you would have read the whole thing, you would probably know the characters' names, too.
That's true. I just want to say that when the people who saved it, the British, heroes, oddly enough, the Guardians of the Galaxy got credit for saving the world, and Groot's up there, Jesus Groot, because they're in France. So I just thought that was kind of hilarious.
Too. Jesus?
Yes.
Je suis? I don't know.
I got to go, yes, so let's go. Hurry up.
Jesus Groot sounds like Jesus Groot. All right, The Bunker number 2 came out. I raved about issue 1. Holy fuck, is this good? So, yeah, if you're not reading it, you really should be. But that was all of my top notchers that had to be brought out there. So, anything else noteworthy, guys, before we go?
Oh, you know, since you brought it up here, I thought this was cute. I got a renewal certificate from my comic book subscription that I do in the mail. And I guess this is a joke I'll share. So it says, question, what's worse than a Green Lantern without a power ring?
I don't know.
Answer, a reader without a comic.
Wow.
And then they proceeded to ask me to renew my subscription for Wonder Woman.
DC is taking my jokes and now printing them up.
I guess so, yeah. Couple things, if you guys are not aware, we are now available on Stitcher. So if you're one of our listeners that goes to our website and downloads because you got an Android, now you got another way of listening to us on your mobile devices. But yeah, if depending on how you're finding us, we're on drunkoncomics.com, we're on iTunes, we're on Stitcher.
Yeah, and now you can check us out a little bit easier now on your mobile and phone and tablet. DrunkenComics.com is just a slightly different format.
Looking
sharp, looking good.
Yep. So reach out to us at Facebook and Twitter, too, if you want to chat. We like to chat. Oh, one last thing. I had a random drunken conversation with our buddy Jay over at An Elegant Weapon last night that was only going to be a couple-minute conversation, and it turned into probably, I think, like an hour and a half. So you can go listen to me ramble on with him about all kinds of...
Is that on our site or on his?
It's on his, but we can throw a link up on our website.
Okay, so, but his site is Elegant...
Yeah, it's an Elegant Weapon. Is that Podbean? I'd actually have to look.
Yeah, you just Google An Elegant Weapon podcast, and I'm sure it'll come up in the first page of Google.
Yeah, it should be on there. And, of course, it's an elegantweapon.podbean.com. You can go there and check that out. I'm kind of curious to hear what I said, too. Because it was one of those nights. All right.
Excellent. Good show, everybody. Well, you guys had a good show.
Maybe next time, Kevin. Next time.
I just got to double up my efforts.
Yeah.
All right, well, keep reading those comics, guys, and we'll be back next week to talk to you about them again then. See ya. Never say a word and let it go unheard. I don't know. You say it's all my fault. We'll be right back.
you fade away. Tell me that there's nothing wrong, but it feels like you're already.